Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer that this message will help you live in focus every day. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
I want to start it this way. Years ago, Max Lucado wrote a book entitled The Eye of the Storm, and he tells a story that I just love, and I find myself going back to it every now and then. It's about the story of Chippy the Parakeet. And it was just an ordinary day. It was a day that Chippy never saw coming. He was sitting in his cage doing what he normally did every day, and that's singing and chirping and just having a happy-go-lucky day. That's when the owner decided to clean the cage. And she decided to do it in a new way with a vacuum cleaner. And as she began to clean the cage, Chippy was sitting on his perch, just calm and peaceful with it all. And then the phone rang. And the owner kept the hose in the cage and went to reach for the phone. And guess what happened? Chippy disappeared into the depths of the vacuum. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, opened up the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. And since Chippy was in the depths of the bag, he's covered with dust and grime and all that soot, and so the owner picked up Chippy and ran to the bathroom, turned on the faucet and put Chippy under the faucet and ran the water over this little bird. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, the compassionate bird owner grabbed the blow dryer on full force and began to dry off Chippy. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him that day. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who initially wrote about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. And the owner replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much. He just sits and stares." Then Lucado closes this with this statement. It's not hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from even the strongest heart, isn't it? Most of us have been there. Some of us are there right now. One minute you were seated in familiar territory. There was a song on your lips. You were excited. There was hope on the horizon. Things were going really good. And then suddenly the pink slip came. The doctor calls. The police department shows up on your door. And all of a sudden, you're sucked into the black cavern of doubt. You're hit with the cold reality. And you're blasted with the hot winds of trials. Have you ever been there? And sometimes, somewhere along the line, if we're not careful, we lose the song that God has placed within each of our heart. It's the song of redemption. It's the song of hope. It's the song of purpose. And storms can come, trials can come, and it steals it, or it attempts to steal it. And as we dive further into Philippians, it's clear that Paul is in the midst in a situation where his song could be stolen really quick. But there's something within him that is bringing him great joy. This is a man in the midst of incredible hardship that he always had joy. And Philippians is littered with statements concerning joy and rejoicing and rejoice. And then a lot of Christians, they walk around and you see a lot of Christians walking around and they don't have joy. And you read, and there's this juxtaposition that happens, and because you read the pages of Scripture and you read Philippians chapter, or excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 or 6, and Paul says, "Be joyful always." And you read Philippians 4:4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And you read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and you read the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And it's like, you don't see it on my face because it's not in my heart. Have you ever been there? There's nothing for the Christian I want to submit to you this morning, there is nothing for the Christian that should ever steal your joy. I'm not saying you never have a moment when you get sucker punched and you lose your wind. And you're like, what just happened? But there should be something within us, this anchor point that says, man, it's going to be okay. Yet, when it comes, a sudden change of circumstances or difficulties or hardship or unmet desires, and those things throw us into a tailspin, and even when those things happen, that we would not forfeit our joy and that there would not be this bitterness that takes root. You know, as we study Philippians, Paul didn't let that happen to him. In spite of incredible difficulty, he maintains joy. Because of that, he becomes this incredible, larger-than-life role model for you and I. So this morning, I want us to look at verses 12 through 13. Really, we're going to go to verse 18 this morning as we continue on in Philippians. And it says this, "Now I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." The journey started out in Acts chapter 1, or excuse me, Acts chapter 21, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me read verse 13 there of Philippians chapter 1. "Sorry, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Notice two things about this passage, if you will. And as we progress through the rest of down to verse 18 this morning, there's two things about this passage. The first one is this, the problem that Paul faced. Paul, what are you writing about? Paul, what are you referring to? If we understand the situation that he faced, then the advice that he gives in this letter will make sense to us. It's advice that you and I, 2,000 years later, are able to pull out and to apply to our life. As Paul writes this epistle, he is a prisoner in Rome. He has wanted to go to Rome for years. Romans chapter 1, verse 10 writes this, "In my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, my God, by God's will, that you may be open to me, God's will would be open to me to come to you." In Philippians chapter 1, he's now in Rome, but not under the conditions that he was hoping for. He's in Rome as a prisoner, Acts chapter 27. Gives us more background. Even his trip to Rome was marked with difficulties. As the ship was caught in a storm, the ship was wrecked. He had to swim for his life. The journey started out in Acts chapter 21. Paul and his friends are looking for a place to worship, and a riot begins because of a misunderstanding. And so Paul is placed in prison, not because he did anything wrong, but because of the fear of the crowd, what the crowd would do to him. And so they place Paul in prison. Several months pass, a shipwreck later, Paul finally arrives at Rome, not as a free man, but as a prisoner. What was his imprisonment like? Acts chapter 28 recalls that for us. In verse 19, Paul is under house arrest. In verse 23, Paul is preaching the law of Moses. And so what is going on here is house arrest. It would be this. Paul was given a private house. But in that house, under house arrest, he is chained to a guard. He couldn't go to people. People could come to him, though. And this went on. Not for a month, not for 4 months, but for 4 years. Imagine if that was you. That for 4 years, you're a prisoner, even though you committed no crime. Everything in your life stops. Your dreams stop. The world around you keeps going, but your world stops. You're a prisoner. As you're placed unjustly into prison. Can I ask you this morning, if that was you, what kind of attitude would begin to well up within you if that happened to you? I would dare say, as Americans, most of us would say, man, well, bless God, I would feel violated. That goes against my rights. You can't do that to me in America. He's charged with a crime that he didn't commit. He's chained to a Roman soldier. What kind of attitude would you have? What would be your letter that you would be writing? This is Paul's attitude through the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 14. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Philippians chapter 2, verse 18. So you too should rejoice with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. We've already said it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He had great joy. His joy doesn't have anything to do with his circumstances. You understand that, don't you? If there were related to circumstances, he wouldn't have joy. If it was related to possessions and material things, guess what? He wouldn't have joy. If it was related to personal pleasure, no joy. If it was related to personal freedom, then no joy. If it was related to personal prestige, no joy. If you tie joy to circumstances, to what happens to you, to how things are going for you, guess what happens to you and I? We will forfeit our joy just like that. Because stuff comes and tries to steal that, doesn't it? If you want to lose your joy, put it in people. If you want to lose your joy, put it in possessions. If you want to lose your joy, put it in prestige. If you want to lose your joy, put it in the Kansas City Chiefs. Sorry, slipped. I knew it was coming. It's fair. It's fair game. It ends up being whatever life deals you. But if it's tied to something different than Christ, you risk losing that joy. And that's the problem that he faced, which leads us to the second thing this morning. It's a perspective Paul embraced, which really is what this is all about. What gave Paul perspective? What did Paul embrace that enabled him to see through with a different lens? Because how many, you know, we're all given a lens by which you are able to view your tomorrow, your circumstances, your situation through. And what lens are you going to view life through? What did Paul embrace that enabled him to see through a different lens? Is it just wishful thinking? Is it positive confession? Is it ignorance or lazy living? Is it laissez-faire living that says, hey, it's all going to work out? Is it, you know, your best life now type of mindset? Notice what Paul's attitude is in verse 12. I love it. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul gives us an incredible lesson on perspective. And he says, I want you to know. He begins by saying, this is different than you might have thought. In other words, you would think because of being a prisoner and being in chains and things not going the way that I had planned, you would think Paul would be going, woe is me. Why is God not answering my prayers? Why am I not getting my deliverance? This is not fair. I didn't ask for this. He's saying, it's not like you think. In fact, it's just the opposite. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. For Paul, it's all about the gospel. You see that going down, working your way down through verse 18. In other words, God had a better way of doing things. And we can learn that in the midst of every situation, how many know God is at work? Do you have that type of perspective, though? Because if you're like me, it's easy to lose that if you're not careful. You're like, man, you know, whatever the scenario is, this is going on way too long, and I don't like it. I want it to stop now. I mean, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of imprisonment, unjust situations, do you have the mindset that says that God is working in this? Paul said, you would have thought I would have been discouraged, but God had a better plan. What's the plan, Paul? Verse 12. For Paul, the most important thing in his life was the gospel. The one thing that mattered most was the gospel. Paul's whole purpose in living was Christ, verse 21. It's his passion. It's what drove him. It's the lens he uses to live and to view life. How does it affect the cause of Christ? In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, we read this incredible statement. Look at what drives him. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. My personal goals, my life, my ambitions really don't matter. That's what Paul is saying. What's the most important thing for you? What's your passion? Why do you exist? What is it that drives you? If it's friends, then joy only comes if you have friends. If it's your business, then joy only comes when you're in the black. But Paul, what really happened, what is going on in my life has happened to it. It's happened. What's happened has helped to advance the gospel. I mean, it's a totally different way of viewing your purpose and your perspective on life, isn't it? The advance is the Greek word prokope. It's the idea of moving forward in the face of opposition. It's used of an army moving forward in the face of heavy enemy fire. It's used of the pioneer who is crossing the unexplored territory and advancing as he reaches new land. The gospel is going forward in spite of obstacles, and that brings Paul joy. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18, look at it. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others preach out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether for false motives or true, Christ is preached, that the gospel is going forth. His response is this, and because of this, I rejoice. The cause of Christ will always go forth. You know what? The election doesn't determine the gospel. The gospeler determines the gospel. And that is you, if you're a follower of Christ. That is me, as a follower of Christ. That's the power of the gospel. Nothing can stop it. Amen? They've tried for 2,000 years to sequester the gospel, and it's not stopped. It's growing. The gospel is advancing. Lives are being changed. I mean, I sat there yesterday at the district youth convention watching 1,200 students move to the front of the auditorium and lift their hands and worship the King of Kings and see life transformation happen. It's the power of the gospel. His response, and because of this, I rejoice. Can I just submit to you? Make your life goal the advancement of the gospel, and you will always have joy. If our faith is boring, it's because we're boring. See, because when you give life away and Jesus is life, you receive life. When you place yourselves in positions students, when you have to live by faith because you don't have any options other than to live by faith, when you live by faith, all of a sudden your faith explodes, your faith grows because you're living and you're viewing life through a different lens, a different perspective, a different paradigm, with a different hope. Two ways that the gospel is advanced. Verse 13, as a result, I want you to underline that in your Bible. Just that phrase, as a result. It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Facing a storm or trial? Are you? If you're not, you will. What I want you to do in light of as a result, Paul writes as a result, I want you to write on your note card, in your Bible, whatever the scenario may be, just write that as a result. As a result of my sickness, as a result of my financial situation, as a result of me losing my job, as a result of the stress that I'm under, as a result of being of friends walking away, whatever, as a result of, you fill in the blank, whatever your blank is. Paul's blank was prison. What is your blank? As a result, Paul saw his life and every purpose of life as it related to the gospel. So he says, as a result of my prison, as a result of the chains that I am in, he saw God work in two ways. He saw the gospel advance outside the church. The Greek word for chain is halousos. It's an 18-inch chain. That one end was attached to the prisoner, in this case, Paul, and the other end to the soldier. So let me play this out. Troy, come here. Come here. You're my prisoner. All right? No, I'm the soldier, so that means you're the Apostle Paul, okay? No, I want to be Paul. You're the soldier. Stand on this side. All right, so give me your arm. You're my prisoner, man. All right. I'm Paul.
Oh.
No, yeah, I'm Paul. I'm Paul, man. You're the soldier, because I want to be the good guy. Yeah, so, yeah, whatever. Thank you. I'm just seeing if you're with me, man. Because I'm not convinced I'm with you.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go. All right, so here's the deal. All right, an 18-inch chain that you are chained to the soldier 24 hours a day. They would do six-hour shifts, and the new soldier would come in. He was chained to a guard 24 hours a day. 2 years. Escape was impossible. Come on. You got to get a better grip. Impossible. He has a good grip. Can't imagine what a chain one would be like. Privacy didn't exist. How many of you are private people? You're just like, I need my space. You're in my bubble. Give me some room. I'm like that. Clear to the whole palace guard. He's chained. He can't get away. It's one thing to be chained to a soldier. It's another thing to be chained to the Apostle Paul. Think about it. Ever tried to evangelize when the person wasn't really interested in what you had to say and they try to get away? Can you imagine being a sinner? Can you imagine being this soldier? You're lost and you're chained to Paul for 6 hours. And some of you have looked at your watch this morning going, man, I got to be here for an hour and a half. 6 hours. You thought you had it rough. For 6 hours, you're hearing him pray. You're hearing him praise. You're hearing him worship. You're watching him write letters to the churches. You're listening to this guy telling you about this man, this Christ who changed his life that he met on the Damascus Road as he was trying to destroy the church. And you're hearing what is happening. And he's witnessing to you. Paul didn't complain about his chains, did he? Instead, he consecrated them to God and asked God to use them for the pioneer advancement of the gospel. And God answered those prayers. What's your chain right now? For some, it may be a recent diagnosis. For others, it may be the need and the loss of employment. For others, it's a family situation. But what's your chain? What are you doing with it? How are you using it? Or maybe the better question is how is it, or is it using you? I mean, it's incredible to think about. These palace guards Paul was chained to were Caesar's best troops. They numbered 10 to 12,000 of them, handpicked, the best of the best, the special ops of the day, if you will. They had a 12-year commitment to Caesar. They were the best troops in Rome. In return for their service, they were given a high rank of citizenship. They didn't have to pay taxes. They were given a large sum of money for their service. They became very influential in Roman society. God, in his mysterious ways, begins to infiltrate Roman leadership. Not because Paul demanded his rights, but because Paul saw his purpose through a greater lens. These influential people were chained to Paul for six-hour intervals. Don't you love how God works? The result was incredible. In the midst of injustice, these guards are coming to faith in Christ. They saw Paul's love, his character, his passion, his grace, his wisdom, his joy, and they began to come to faith. They began to be saved. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul writes this, "All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's households." That's the guards. And the word spread about these guards that were getting saved. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 13, "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ." Everyone was hearing about it. What could have been a disaster? Paul could have just been, you know, licking his wounds and having a pity party. And, "Oh God, God, you haven't answered my prayers and you haven't answered them like I've wanted you to. And you've left me in prison for 4 years now." And he could have went down that path. He could have had the personal disaster, but it resulted. He could have looked at it as a personal disaster, but it resulted in the advancement of the gospel. What does that say to you and me? Perhaps you have thought this morning, "This is great, Steve, but I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, I'm not an apostle, I'm not an evangelist. I can't do anything for God, I'm stuck at my job." Sounds like an interesting parallel, doesn't it? Chained to a desk, chained to a tractor or a truck driving steering wheel, or you're a stay-at-home mom and you feel like you're chained to the neighborhood if you can get out that far. You're chained to a classroom because you're a student. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, look at it as a chance to, I plead with us, let's look at it as a chance to advance the gospel. Your situation, not to minimize anything. Understand, we're not minimizing anything. But what are you going to put on your blank at the end of "as a result"? Say, "But I'm in a situation, my situation's so bad. I want to just submit to you. But I say, don't you understand that it's much harder to let your light shine when the situations are good? Go outside right now. The stars are still there, aren't they? Can't see them. In a few hours, the sun will be setting and you'll see them. Let your light, Paul later writes in chapter, let your light shine. Man, twinkle, twinkle, you're a star. In the back, against the blackness of night, your star shines brighter. And in these moments, you have the best chance to speak into people's lives. Secondly, the gospel is advanced inside the church. Verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Prior to Paul's imprisonment, they were afraid. And rightly so, there was this growing hostility towards the early church. But as they saw Paul chained to the soldier, proclaiming the gospel in front of them, and it revolutionized the church. His boldness brought fire to other Christians. And you and I, you can do that. Don't get caught up in all the negatives of your situation. Think about the gospel. In the midst of difficulty, Paul had joy. Why? It wasn't based on things, prestige, comfort, freedom, and his future. Well, he knew his big future, so he had that hope. It was based solely on the gospel, the cause of Christ. So as we leave this place this morning, can I submit to you and can I speak into your life? Rejoice. Rejoice. And I'll say it again to you. Rejoice. Where is the gospel in your life? And how is it driving your perspective? Do circumstances dictate your perspective? Do situations determine your perspective? Is it dictated by possessions and prestige and pleasure? Or can we say, as Paul said, to live is Christ, period. And that's challenging, isn't it? It is. I stand before you and I've read and I this is my favorite book in the Bible, and every time I read that, I'm just like, wow, that's big. But it's living with a perspective of gospel. And our world needs to see Christ. And you and I get to represent Him. May we represent Him well. Even in your weaknesses, He is made strong. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, this morning we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your power. And Lord, we're challenged this morning by Paul's words. We're challenged by them. And it brings us to this point of decision this morning, if we're a follower of Jesus. Am I going to be an emotional roller coaster because of my situations? Again, God, that's not to minimize anything any of us face in this place. Or can I have the perspective of Paul that would say what has happened to me has really served, that has really helped the gospel go forth? As a result of this, as a result of the trial in my marriage and my commitment to be the man of God and or be the woman of God that You're calling me to be, I am going to serve my spouse. I'm going to serve my family. I'm going to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. God, whatever as the result is, It's different for each of us. As a result of not getting caught up in the peer pressures that are all around me as I walk the hallways of my high school, of my college campus, my middle school, I'm going to be chained. I'm going to be a prisoner, not of this soldier. I'm going to be a prisoner of Christ. And what's happening to me is we're going to serve to advance the gospel. God, help us not to live with a perspective of today, but with a perspective of eternity and a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, if that's your prayer, maybe you say, man, I know that needs to be my prayer, but I'm scared because I've tried in the past and I've failed. Well, if that's you, welcome to walking this thing out on this side of eternity. But you're saying, man, I want this perspective because I want the joy that is more than this world has to offer.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.